Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Moirai Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Can I have your attention, please? Okay, Rabbi Sai. Parshas Noach usually is the parsha. And this week we have Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, it's also by Parshas Noach. There are a lot of things that come together.
Always
before, between Bereshis and Noach. It's always Rosh Chodesh.
It could be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh.
Noach can be Shabbos Chodesh?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have, they come together. There are many things that come together which seemingly are unrelated, but yet, obviously, there's no such thing as a coincidence in Yadus. And
Mar Cheshvan.
Okay.
It means the eighth month. Wa is month, and Shemwan is Shemayna. It means literally the eighth month.
Wait, say that one more time. Yeah.
Mar Cheshvan.
So Mar means what? What does Mar mean?
No, Mem Reish Ches goes back to the Proto-Semitic W-A-R-Ch, which means month.
Okay.
Wav, and then Shin Vav Nun is really for Shin Mem Nun, which means eighth.
Wow, fantastic.
So Ma Cheshvan etymologically means the
eighth month. So you're saying something.
So you have to say Ma.
Mar Cheshvan. So, you're saying something that is very, very fascinating, because what you're doing is you're taking the term Mar Cheshvan. Many of the commentators that actually will talk about this, they take the term Mar Cheshvan and they divide it into two separate words. Mar,
yes.
Mar,
which, that's wrong.
And then Cheshvan.
It's wrong. Wrong.
So what you're doing is you're putting
which stands for month. And Shin Vav Nun is
the eighth month. But then, by
it means the eighth month.
The eighth month. So, but by doing that, the only other question is that we would.
Rabbi, what language is that?
Semitic languages. Harav Dr. Cohen has a doctorate in Semitic languages. He has many incredible chidushim, yisoidos that come out of understanding the Semitic languages and how it's related to Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the only thing I want to ask you is that if that's the case, why then is the Nikud Mar, and then we begin Cheshvan?
They didn't know that
etymology. You would say Morach Shvan. According to what you're saying, it would seem that the pronunciation should be
Mach. It would be Mach.
Morach Shvan.
The Proto-Semitic Wach is
Morach Shvan. So according to what you're saying, the pronunciation should be something we should take the first three letters.
Okay.
So this is a very interesting idea. Now, let's discuss the more common ideas, which I definitely understand, Rabbi Cohen, that will not be to your liking. But let me just present you the more common ideas and the problems with them. The more common idea is to say the month is called Mar Cheshvan, and it's broken up into two parts: Mar, bitter, and Cheshvan. Cheshvan is a word that is from Bavel. The names of the months were taken from Bavel.
But that's wrong.
Okay, I know. I accept. But let's just discuss the popular beliefs, and then we can discredit them. Well, let's first count the votes. Now, what is the popular? The popular Cheshvan is a I don't know what it means, Cheshvan, but it is the name of okay. It is the name of the month that was taken from Bavel. According to some opinions, we append to the term cheshvon, the word mar. It's an appendage. Why? So this is what it said, because it is the only month of the 12 months in which there is no Jewish holiday. Tishrei, we have many holidays. Kislev is Chanukah. Teves is also Chanukah. And not only is it Chanukah, who said Halloween? Teves is also Chanukah, but in addition, it's also Asara B'Teves. It is a fast day. And Chazal say, all the Navi says that all of the four Tzoymas will one day be converted into days of Sosoyim V'Simcha. So besides the fact that Teves also is Chanukah, it's a continuation of Chanukah, but it's also Asar B'Teves, which will be transformed L'Asa Lavo into days of joy and gladness, Sosoyim V'Simcha. Then we come to Shvat, is Tu B'Shvat, Reish HaShana Lilonis. Adar is Purim, Nisan is Pesach. Iyar is Pesach Sheni. That's a little bit controversial because by the Litvaks they say Pesach Sheni is a Yomtif for the Tameim and the Rechoykin. That's not a nice thing to say. People that are Tamei and people that are distant. But nevertheless, Iyar is a holiday of Pesach Sheni.
Iyar,
Chav Chesi Yom Atzmaut. Okay, we have Yom Atzmaut. We have Eretz Yisrael. Yes.
The Pesach Sheni is they were, that not that they are. So those lit box can go back to
where they came from. Pesach Sheni, they were to name. Now then we come to Sivan. Sivan is Shavuos. Then we come to Tammuz. Shavuos B'Tammuz, the four Tzoymos, which will be transformed to days of holidays. Tisha B'Av, Av is Tisha B'Av. And also in Av edition, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovos, Shavuos B'Tammuz, that's Tammuz. And when we come to Av Tu B'Av, Lo Hayu Yomim Tovim L'Yisrael Ki Chamisha Osa B'Av Yom HaKippurim Shabchem B'Nei Yisrael Yoytzeis, the Mecholos, they would dance and they would select Shaduchim. And then we come to Elul. Elul, what's the holiday of Elul? It's Rosh. First of all, Elul. It's a Nila Daidi. It's a Hakdama to the Yimei Teshuvah. And also Elul is Rosh Hashanah if Maestros. Maestros, Maestro Behema. Maestros, Maestro Behema. So that is Tzedakah. It's a Yom Tov of giving Tzedakah, Elul. And in addition, Elul is, it could be there are more elements of Elul, but Elul obviously is a very special time. We blow Shofar, and Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to receive the Luchos Shniyos on Rosh Chodesh Elul.
So
all of the months have special things associated with it. The only thing that really has nothing is the month that we're coming to tonight, Cheshvan. Cheshvan does not have any holiday associated with that we celebrate that is significant that we dwell upon, and therefore there is an understanding that we append to Cheshvan. Cheshvan is the name of the month that was used in Bavel. We take that name and we take note that there is no joy in this month, so we append the word Mar, which means bitter. It is bitter in the fact that there is no holiday associated with this month. And that is a very controversial thing to say, because in Yados there's no such thing as bitter. There's no such thing as saying that a tekuf, a zman in the year, is bitter. How could you possibly say that a month, time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us time to live, the ability to live and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if there's no festival, can you dare? It's a chutz menorah to say that it's bitter. That's not a nice thing to do. Furthermore, in Megillas Tainos, there are a whole collection of festivals that were observed in the month of Cheshvan, in this month. And although today Megillas Tainos has been canceled, we don't observe anything that's written in Megillas Tainos, not the festivals and not the fast days, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim, we know for a fact that even before the festivals and fast days of Megillas Tainos were canceled, when Megillas Tainos was active and they did celebrate the festivals in the Cheshvan, they also called the month Mar Cheshvan. So there were festivals. There was a Tekufa in Jewish history when there were holidays that were celebrated in Chodesh Cheshvan. And during that Tekufa, when there were holidays, they still called it, we know for a fact, there are records, they still called it Mar Cheshvan. So how could you say the reason why we call them we append to cheshed the word mar? It's bitter because there are no festivals. What are you talking about? There are festivals. In the Gilas Tainus, there are festivals that they did celebrate. They said halal. They didn't say halal, but they didn't fast. There was no fasting. There was no eulogies. It was a festival. It was a minor festival. So you can't call it mar. You can't call it bitter. And yet they did call it mar. So obviously mar cannot possibly mean that it's bitter because there are no festivals. So why then do we indeed call it mar cheshen? So one answer that it does seem very satisfying is the word mar in Tanakh means rain. Mar midli. Not sure if I'm pronouncing the word right. Kemar midli. Midli means drops. Is that correct? Rain. The two words together mean drops of rain. Mar midli. Midli means drops. Mar means rain. That's what it says in the Farshim. It's an unusual word, but it means rain. Chodesh Cheshvan is the month when it begins to rain. And in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, when do they begin to say Mashav HaRuach, when do they begin to say the same Kalu Motor Livracha on Zayin Cheshvan? They begin to say that's the date. And the Gemara really talks about two different tekufas. If it does not rain by Yud Zayin, if it does not rain by Yud Zayin, Mar Cheshvan is already a Zman when you have to start fasting. When the tzaddikim, where people select people, there's a whole process of fasting, and the first fast day, if it does not yet rain by the 17th day of Cheshvan, it's already trouble. But this month is the month when we expect it to begin to rain in Eretz Yisrael, and the word mar means rain. And it's a pasuk in Mishlei, mar midlei means drops of rain, and therefore we take the word mar, we append it to Cheshvan. Cheshvan is the name of the month that was used in Bavel. It's a Babylonian name for a month. We append to it mar because we say that in this month we are anticipating, we are hoping, we are being mispalel that the heaven shall open up and some drops of rain should come down to this world. That is another approach. Then there's a Hasidish approach. This cannot possibly be the Emes of Pshat, but it's a Hasidish approach that's very, very common. And the word Cheshvan, okay, whatever the word Cheshvan means, it means, but the Mar was appended so that it should be similar to Mirachashan. Mirachashvan, which basically it's related to the word to murmur. Your lips are murmuring. Sifsvosei merachashin bekivrei. Merachashin. The Chazal said that a person, if he say over a divrei Torah from a person who's no longer living, his lips are murmuring. What? Medovos. Medovos is another word which means medovos, which is murmuring. There's another word, mirachashan, which means it's a similar expression. The lips are murmuring. Now, medovos is the word used by the dead. Mirachashan means by the living. And we all know a person go to a concert or you listen to a nice melody and it touches you. What happens? You start humming it. When you go to a concert, you come the next day, you find yourself the next day humming the melodies that you've heard at the concert. After going through Chodesh Tishrei, and you heard the beautiful Nusach HaTzvila on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Simchas Torah, and Sukkot, you find yourself murmuring the melodies that you have listen to, you have enjoyed for an entire month. The reason why Mar Cheshvan is called, the reason why we add to Cheshvan Mem Resh is to make it sound like Mirach Hashan, it's related to that word, to reflect that in this month of Mar Cheshvan, we are still living in the glow. We are murmuring, our lips are still moving and humming the melodies, the inspiration, the uplifting experience of Chodesh Tishrei and all that came along with it. Okay, that's another popular idea. Another idea, which I don't have all the details, I don't know, but it really touches upon the topic we're going to talk about, which we're running out of time very quickly, and that is the word Mar means a master. A master. Mar, like, you know, Mr., Master. What is Chodesh Cheshvan is the master of all of the months of the year regarding the calendar. Now, I don't really know what this is. I'm just saying words, I don't know what these words mean. That in Chodesh Cheshvan, those who are experts in understanding the calendar, you're able to, when Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan begins and all of its related information, it sets the stage and the tone for the arrangement of the festivals that will fall out on various days of the week and parts of the year for the remainder of the year.
Because Rosh Chodesh Kislev is either one day or 2 days.
So there are 2 months. So Machol, there are 2 months. Cheshvan and Kislev. There are three types of years. As Rabbi Noam is telling us, starting off our topic. In the year, we know there are 12 months. This year, in fact, is a leap year, an Ibiyar. We're going to have 13 months this year. And every month, every year, we have every month is preset. It's Mole, Choser, Mole, Choser. You alternate. When do you start alternating from? After, from Shvat. Starting with Shvat is when we alternate. Shvat is Mole, 30 days, if I'm not mistaken. Or am I all the way around? Forget it already. We alternate. 1 month is 30, and the next month, Shvat is Mole, 30. And then Adar is Choser, it's 29 days. Nisan is 30 days. Iyar is Choser, 29 days. We alternate, no exceptions. 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, until you get to Tishrei. There are two variable months, and those two variable months are Cheshvan and Kislev. Both Cheshvan and Kislev sometimes can be 29 days. They can both be 29 days, and sometimes they can both be 30 days. And sometimes one is 30. The first one is 30. Cheshvan is 30, and Kislev is 29 days.
That's part of the compensate because it's not 29 and a half days exactly.
Right.
So I have to compensate something.
Yeah, the comments say that it should not that Adar should always let's go review. So we know that we follow a lunar cycle. Yadus is a chodesh as we follow a chodesh azel lochem roish chodoshim. From this pasuk we learn that our calendar is based upon the moon. The moon has approximately, how long is the cycle of the moon around the earth? 29 days, 6 hours, and some change. What's the change? How many?
12 halakim.
12 halakim?
24 minutes and 11 halakim or something like
that. Is some change. And a chelek, what is a chelek? 3.5 seconds. We discuss once at length why is the small, in the Chazal's terminology, the smallest amount of time is called a chelek. We had a whole discussion in secular society, the smallest amount of time, regular, I mean, today in the Olympics, they can measure time in the fractions of a second, but in society, what is the smallest unit of time in society? 1 second. 60 seconds in 1 minute, 60 minutes in 1 hour, and 24 hours in a day. But Chazal did not work with that principle. Chazal worked with a chelek. In an hour, there are 180 chalakim. What is a chelek? 3.5 seconds. Why is 3.5 seconds the smallest unit of time in Chazal's terminology? It's because that's the amount of time it takes to breathe. One breath. And now, even though you go and you look online, they'll tell you there's a range. Okay, so you know there's a range of, and it doesn't seem to fit into the median of the range in secular society of how long is the average time does it take to breathe one breath. Chazal's understanding, the amount of time of one breath, a person inhales and you exhale one halachic breath is a chelek, and that takes approximately 3.5 seconds. 180 of those breaths equals 900, and in an hour there are 980. I didn't prepare this part. Whatever it is, but that's the smallest amount of time. Why? Because that is creation. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim vayehi ha'odam l'nefesh chayah. Hashem breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. Life in this world is time. A person is given an amount of time to live. We learned last week's parasha, it says, V'hayu yom av mea ve'eshem shani. Even though I told you that's not what it says in Rashi, Rashi says it means there's going to be 120 years until to decide if I'm going to destroy the world, to do teshuvah. For some reason, we like to take that number and we like to associate it with the lifetime of man. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived 120 years. We discussed last week that the world is meant to exist for 6,000 years. 6,000 divided by 50 is 120. And being that everything in this world is built upon the principle of 7, 7 times 7 is Yovel, the number 50 is a very significant number, and if the world's supposed to exist for 6,000 years, whatever that means, and we divide that by 50, we have units of 120. So 120 is a significant period of time that contributes to the existence of this world. Life is all about time, zman. The smallest unit of time in this world is creation. By Yibach Be'apov Nishmas Chaim, Hashem breathed into the nostrils of men a breath of life. It takes a person to breathe, to inhale and exhale, a healthy person, an average of 3.5 seconds. That is the smallest unit of time, a chelek. So now let's go to the month. Achoydesh hazelachem reish chodashim. Torah was machadesh, there should be months. So we mentioned last week, someone mentioned this, Rafkadu told this to me, is that in the Torah you only find Bereshis bar lokim. What does Rashi say? Lohoya tzorech hator lahaschil ela miachoydesh zelochem. What is the significance of that Rashi? So there are hundreds of perushim, but one of the ideas is that in my Bereshis you do not find the principle of a month. No such thing. You find days and years. Everything in Bereshis is with 7 days of creation, and then it mentions years. We go into the discussion of man and how long it says something in Rashi about years and giving them my separations, but there is absolutely no such mention of months. Units of time called months. It is a year, a complete cycle, the solar cycle, and there are days. So Rashi's first question is, whatever happened to the principle of months? Days, I understand. Years, I understand. Lo hoyo tzorech hator lahaschal ela mehachodesh hazeh lachem. What about the concept of time, calculating time based upon units of time called a month? What happened to that? Where did that go? That's, for us, that's essential. For the goyim, they're concerned about days, they're concerned about years. They're not so concerned about months. Months don't play much, are not very important to break up time. But for Klal Yisrael, everything depends upon units of time in a month. How come that's not mentioned in Ma'aseh Bereishis? We should focus on that. So that Rashi explains that we didn't do for whatever the reasons are. But there are in time, there are days, there are years, there are months. A month is the amount of time the sun, the moon rotates around the earth, which we know to be 29 and a half days and a fraction. That fraction is defined in terms of chalokim. In terms of chalokim, the smallest unit of time is the fraction, the amount of time it takes to breathe. Emphasis of time is upon man, which is a concept. It's not upon the world. When you look at this world, you look at a person being the ikur or being the tofel. By the Umay Sa'ilam, they calculate time based upon seconds. You know why? Because man is not important. Who cares about man? Man is a cockroach. Maybe there are too many people. What is man? What's important is the world. Shouldn't be any global warming. The sun shouldn't get too strong. This shouldn't happen. Shouldn't get too cold, too hot, too this world. That's time. Everything is based upon the world. Man, no. So if man won't exist, we'll leave the world to the animals. As long as the dogs, the cats, the mice, they have fun, that's good enough. Klali, Sakalashrav, and Yadus, that's not what it's about. Time is not, it's not the seconds that add up to a minute, to an hour, to a day. It's the amount of breaths that come out of your mouth. It's the amount of time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekayim vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim. It's the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathing a breath of air into your neshama to give your neshama life on this world. That is the focus, the emphasis of the smallest amount of time. And a month is a religious amount of time. Which is, takes 29 days and a half a day, plus halakim. The fractions are very important because that captures man. The halakim is the units of time of man. Now obviously, it's going to be, since it's a fraction, so should a month be 29 days or should a month be 30 days? Because a month is really 29 and a half. So Mr. Rilla says, we alternate. But because there is a fraction, the fraction is going to eventually catch up with you. And it's not going to fit into a cycle where we'll have Pesach in the spring, Chodesh Adar. Because we do have to acknowledge that there's something called the solar year. And the solar year is 365 days and a quarter, and also a fraction. And we have to somehow coordinate that the solar year and the lunar year work out, they coordinate. So what happens after 3 years? What is the difference between the solar year and the lunar year? Let's discuss an average. There are 354 days in a lunar year. 12 times 30 gives us 350.
12 times 30 is 360 minus 6.
So 350, the lunar cycle is 12 exact cycles, not 30 and 20, I'm sorry, not 30 and 20. When you add up, when you multiply 29 days and a half and the fraction by 12,
right.
The result is approximately 354 days. The amount of time that it takes the Earth to go around the Sun is approximately 365. What is it? 365 and a quarter. But let's for now drop the fractions. Let's drop the fractions. We multiply 29 and a half and its fraction by 12, we come to approximately 354 days. When we observe that the Earth goes around the Sun one complete cycle, it's approximately 365 days. What is the difference between the two? 11 days. When does this number become a problem? After three cycles. 11 day discrepancy we can get away with twice, because it's less than a month. 11, 22. Once we do this three times, we now have accumulated 33 days. Once you get to 33 days, you're in violation. You have already an additional month, a complete additional month, which is a major discrepancy between the solar cycle and the lunar cycle, which demands that we inject into the year an additional month to bring things back into order. Now, I just want to maybe point out some numbers. I like focusing on numbers sometimes. And the number 33 is a very significant number in Judaism. Wherever you turn, there it is. It's always staring you in the eye, the number 33. Let me give you some examples. Lag BaOmer. Did anyone ever hear of that holiday called Lag BaOmer? Lag BaOmer is a very significant holiday. And it's on the 33rd day of the Omer. Why the 33rd day of the Omer? Okay, that's a whole discussion in and of itself. It's two-thirds. You're two-thirds through the calendar in 55 days. When you get to Lag BaOmer, you're two-thirds done. That's significant, two-thirds. 33 of 50, 50 we know is a very basic unit of numbers in Judaism, 50. Like we said, the world is going to exist for 6,000 years. And 120 divide, when you divide 6,000 by 120, we have 50 units of 120. So 50 is significant. It's a very significant number. When you get to 33, you're now two-thirds there. That's a significant majority. Two-thirds. There's no longer a miut. A miut, you've diminished the miut, the minority. Because the minority is only called the minority when you double the minority, you're going to have more. You're two-thirds to the number 50 when you get to number 33. So that's very significant. Another example. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, how many years were taken away from his life because he did not have a Karas HaTov? 33 years. Yaakov was supposed to live to the age of 180, like his father Yitzchak. He lived only to 127. How many years were diminished? 33 years. Rashi tells us that when Paro asked Yaakov, how old are you? He said, even though I look like I'm 500 years old, I'm a youngster. I'm only 100, I'm only whatever I am. And the reason why is because I've had a very difficult life. I said, I did not reach the level of my ancestors, my Yaakov, Avram, and Yitzchak. So Hashem was not happy with that answer. Hashem said, you're complaining. I saved you from all of the sorrows in your life. I brought back Yosef. I saved you. I saved you from Potiphar. I saved you in the pit. You didn't die from the snakes. I was so good to you. How dare you say, Ma'at Ziro'im Ho Yimei Shnei Chayai. The number of words that was says in that pasuk that he spoke too much, 33 words. He spoke 33 words too much. And therefore, Rashi tells us he lost at that moment 33 years of his life. Now, what's the significance of the number 33 in this context? I do not know, but it is the number 33. It's a significant number, 33. You have by the Omer of 33, you have by Yaakov 33. You have in the parsha of Acharimos, Yom HaKippurim. There's a very spooky, is it a Rabban? It's a spooky Rabban. It says by the name of Soyer LaZozel. Where is it? By the soil, yeah, you have the soil of Hashem and the soil of Azazel. And Rashi, I think the Ramban, he says, if you want to understand the soil, when you get to 33, you'll know what it's all about. If you want to understand what is the secret of bringing the soil of Azazel, wait until you get to 33. What does that mean? No one knows what that means. We get to 33. One interesting thing, though, is that you do have 33 psukim further, 33 psukim from where the Ramban says that, it says, "Lo yizbuchu oid la'si'il." Don't sacrifice offerings to Avodah Zarah. All right, I'm just pointing out that the Ramban says something very spooky, and everyone, all the commentators, are very intrigued with this Ramban, where the Ramban says, when you get to 33, then you'll begin to understand what this is all about. And you'll have a whole collection of commentators telling you what it means. I've given you already three examples of where the number 33 has significance.
133 and 137 is only
170.
What did you say about
180?
It was 147.
What I see was 100. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He was 147 when he died. And he was meant to live to 180 like his father Yitzchak. I made a mistake. I said 120. I made a mistake. Okay, so number 33 is a very significant number. And it just occurred to me when I was preparing for today. Give you another example. Another example is, how many children did Leah have when they came to Mitzrayim? Leah was the Iker HaSabayis. Right, is that Leah had the most children. She had six. Or Dina also, Dina, that's seven. And how many children did she have when she came to Mitzrayim? Eila b'nei Leah sheyodol Yaakov, kol nefesh banu v'noisav shloishim v'shalosh. How do you like that? 33. So the pasuk says Beferish. The pasuk says Beferish that Leah, who Rashi says was the Ikeres Abayis of Yaakov Inu, because she had six children, so she had 33 children. Wow, that's very interesting. The Torah emphasizes the number 33. So another example of the number 33. There's something about this number 33 which is very interesting. Now look, three is, you know, v'achut ha-meshulosh, loy b'meher yinotek. Three represents chazaka. You have three of the tens, three of the digits. 33, there's something very special about 33. I don't know, it's spooky, whatever this number means. The only thing which occurred to me as I'm preparing today is that the number 33 is very significant in the calculation of the Jewish year. Because there are 11, there's a discrepancy between the lunar cycle and the solar cycle of 11 days. 365 for the solar cycle, 354 for the lunar cycle. What is the difference? 33. Okay, so there's a discrepancy. It's not a perfect world. So 1 year goes by, no, we're off by 11. A second year goes by, we're off by another 11. A third year goes by. Oh, a third year goes by. 33? Now you're in trouble. Now when you come to 33, you got to stop. You got to stop, and you have to recalibrate. We got trouble here.
Well, that's because the Shomer is Chodesh
Aviv. Oh, right. But when does it become a problem? It becomes a problem when the discrepancy of days reaches 33. When the discrepancy of days reaches 33, 3 years of 11, 11, 11, approximately, because you have the Shana, Moli, V'chodosh, but the principle is Hebrew years. It depends. It all depends. It's not all the time. I'll go through that in a second. But basically, the principle is built upon the discrepancy of 11, 11, 11, 11, Oh, you now got to 33? 33 days discrepancy? Now you have to make a cheshbon hanefesh. It's time now to start making calculations. You have to get back on track. So the number 33 is a very significant, we get, I think, four or five examples already. Leah, the years that we just, the calendar, in Parshas Acharemos, the Ramban that talks when we get 33, Yaakov Avinu, and what was the other one I said, the third, Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer. So number 33 is something which indeed is very significant. Here it plays into the calendar as well. What? When it gets to 33, that's the number, that's the mark when you have to pay attention. Now, I wanted to point out something which I found to be very disturbing. Okay, this is from last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, it says in the parasha, from the Baruch Hu, because this is what it says. It says this in the Sifsei, what is it, in the Chumash, in the Perish and Rashi, in the Chumash, what is it called? Sifsei Chachamim. So it is, the Pasuk is a very difficult Rashi. Rashi says, and this threw me off, Rashi says that Hashem cursed the snake. Now Hashem said, "Orat mikol." I don't remember the exact part. I'm asking. It says both. You curse more than the animals and the snakes. So Rashi says, "What? You curse more than the animals and the snakes? A snake is a chaya. A snake is not an animal. It's a wild animal. So why does Rashi have to? What does it mean in the pasuk that the snake is more cursed than the animals and the snakes?" So Rashi says, oh, this means that a snake's gestation period, its ibur, is 7 years. A snake carries its fetus after it conceives, or whatever it does, however it reproduces. The process of it reproducing is a 7-year process. What does that mean? How does that perish explain the pshuta shel mikra in Chumash that the snake is more cursed than the animals in the wild, and the achayas and the behemoths? So the Sifsei Chacham explain, and he says something very fascinating. He says, what is the shortest gestation period of a behemoth in this world? The shortest, which from all of the creatures of that are called, not talking about shirotzim, talking about behemoths, a cat.
Chicken?
No, they lay eggs. That's not, that doesn't count. The chickens, they lay eggs. That's a different type of, the whole different type of reproductive system. Which creature has within, like a human being, which is the shortest from all of the creatures of the animals, the behemoths and chayim. I'm getting confused. We'll come to this in a second. It is a cat, and the Sifsei Chachamim says, go Google this. I didn't Google it yet. A cat's gestation period is 52 days. 52 days. That's what it says, and it says, I'm not making this up. Sifsei Chachamim.
Might be a behemoth.
Yeah, now multiply that by 7. Multiply that by 7. 52 by 7 is 364. Which creature takes one full year?
An elephant.
No, so it says that, I actually forgot. It says that the behemoth, it says there, and maybe I should go to Chumash, it says that you have Chumash over here? Yeah. Let me go look at the Chumash over here. There's a creature that takes 1 year, and then a snake is 7 times that. We're multiplying it by terms of 7. Seven. Just like when Hashem cursed Cain, you're gonna die. Shiv Osayin Yukom. It'll take 7 generations. So too the curses of Hashem in Ma'aseh Bereishis are built upon the number of 7. And Rashi says, again, a snake is 7, it's 52. 52 by 7 is 354. 364, not 365. 364. We always are brainwashed that a year is 365. And Rashi here says 364. Where does that come from? That's not accurate. Rashi is always very accurate. And 7 times 364 is 7 years minus 7 days. Okay, and that is the snake. That was the curse of the snake. Let me read you what it says over here in this Rashi, just to bring out this point. Ul'odam amar ke Eloish amar. Going back, let's find the snake. The curse to the snake. Vayom Hashem Elokim Nachash ki osisa zois orur ata mikol habehema from all of the animals, umikol chayas hasadeh. Rashi pasuk yudalid, mikol habim mikol chayas hasadeh, im mibehema niskalel michayle kol shekein. What does this mean? Hen midu rabaseinu medrzeh mesechta b'chayres lelamed sheyimei ibura shel nochash sheva shanim. What does that mean? Sifsei chachamim, ois test, perish. Dimei ibur shel chosol, snake, a cat, shohu min chaya, hu nun beis yomim, is 52 days. The shel chamor, a donkey, is min behema. So a behema is more cursed than a chaya. A chaya, the shortest gestation is 52. 52 multiplied by 7 is 364, and that's the donkey. The donkey, chamor min behema. Is that true? It takes 1 year.
That's what it is.
No, he calls it over here min behema. It says the chamor is a behema, and it says that the chasol is the chaya, the cat is the chaya. Im kain behema gorua mechaya sheva panim. We find that a behema,
a behema daka, I think, is 5 months.
Not every, that's generally a behema daka. A chamor, a sheep, but not a donkey. This is what it says in Rashi, not a donkey. That's true for it's 5 and 9. We know behema gasa is 9, behema daka is 5, but a chamor is an exception. A chamor is 364. 64, and that is 7 times more than the cat. And the snake is more cursed than this behema in the same proportion of 7, for a grand total of 7 years minus 7 days. And that's what it says over here. That's what Rashi over here says. Rashi is rounding things up. Im kein behema grua mechaya sheva pamim. A behema is 7, because ki zayin pamim nun beis hu shin samach dalit. 364. Rashi, a different cycle of the how long it took. I mean, that's been 52, but it's not a year. It's you're missing 1 day. Kach ye nochash gerua mi behema sheva pamim. Hainu sheva shonim. Okay, so pointing that over here is that you see over here this incredible idea of the curse of the nochash. It's Ibur is 7 years. That's 7 times more a chamor, which is 1 year. And a chamor is 7 times more a cat, that is 52 days. It sounds all nice and good, but when you add up the numbers, you're off by a day and you're off by 7 days. So does that mean, does this to be how literal do we take this when we talk about the calendar? Is that a year is 365 days? It's really 365 plus a quarter of a day and a fraction, which is what we less than a quarter. So which 9 hours and
5 hours.
So we're rounding things up. Okay. In any event, we have over here. We have now. So therefore, we do know that after 3 years, we have a leap year. Now here I want to just put out some interesting numbers and how some of these simonim. Because we have this issue that we have to every so often inject a month into the year in order to bring us back closer to the cycle where the sun and the moon are following our years are synced together. We have a 19-year cycle. We are in a 19-year cycle, and in the 19-year cycle, we are consistent in which years of the 19 years we add the. Okay, so we are now in what? Okay, it's called Goyach at Zaz. Gimel Vav Ches. 3, 6, 8, and then there is Aleph, Dalid, Zayin, Tes. Okay, these are, we have 7 of the 19 years. We have a cycle. It's called the It's called, in Hebrew, how do they call it?
The Machzer
Katan. Now, why is it called the Machzer Katan? Katan, Michlal, the Iko Godol. So we all know that we have Birchas Hachama. Birchas Hachama is a 28-year cycle. When the sun, when at the time of Maisa Bereshis, we have a tradition that Hashem put the sun in position, in its starting position, on Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 a.m. in the morning, Hashem put the sun in a position. Every year, when the new year begins, when you come to the first Wednesday of the new of the first new year, the sun is not in that position. The sun is in a different part of the sky. The sun is not... Whatever it is. Okay, whatever. It's all relative. Theory of relativity. How many years does it take for the sun to be exactly where it was in the sky relative to the stars and the moon the way it was on the first Wednesday of creation? It takes exactly 28 years. And in the first year of creation, again, the sun was in the sky in a unique position relative to the stars and the moon. And when you go to year number two, come to year number two, and it's the first Wednesday, 6 a.m., the sun is not there. The sun is in a different position relative to the moon and the stars. When will the sun get back to its original position? It takes 28 years. And when we come to that moment in time, we go out early in the morning, we wait for the sun to come out, and we make the bracha, Oisei Maisei Bereshis. The sun, you are now in exactly the same position you were when Hashem created you at the time of Maisei Bereshis, Birchas Hachama. That is a 28-year cycle. That's called the Machzor HaGodol. Then there is a smaller cycle of 19 years called the Machzor HaKoton. And that is the number of years we have to adjust and pad the calendar with additional Chodoshim in order to sync the lunar year with the solar year. We need to pad the calendar with 7 leap years over a period of 19 years. So the Machzor Katon is a 19-year cycle, and the Machzor Gadol is a 28-year cycle. Now, in the Machzor Katon, we always, this is a rule etched in stone, we always declare the third year of the cycle, the sixth year of the cycle, the eighth year of the cycle, the 11th year of the cycle, the 14th year of the cycle, the 17th year of the cycle, and the 19th year of the cycle as a leap year. Now if you want to be accurate on Ksuba and say, today is, what's today's date? The 29th day of Tishrei, or the 30th day, what's today's date? The 30th day is the 29th day of Tishrei. The 29th day of Tishrei. In the year Tavshin Pei Beis, which is, how many lunar cycles have we gone through? I don't know the number. How many solar cycles is the number? I have some of these documents. You can't tell that. Which is, I think we're in the 300, what?
We're in
the 207th cycle. 200 of the solar cycle. And we're in the 305th lunar cycle. Right? So you go, and in the 305th lunar cycle, we're up now to the fourth of the 7 leap years, which is the 11th year of the cycle. So if you really want to be accurate, there's something called the Prat Godol and the Prat Katan. You ever look at a calendar and they tell you the year is Tavshin Pei Beis, and they write Lamed Pei Kuf. What does Lamed Pei Kuf stand for? Lamed Pei Kuf, with an apostrophe between the Pei and the Kuf. You see this all the time. Lamed Pei Kuf. Leperat Katon. What does that mean? You left out the thousand. 5,000 is called the Prat Godol. and Tovshin Pei Beis Leprat Koton. So think about it, if you really want to write the date with full accuracy, this is how you write the date. Today is the 29th day of Tishrei. It is 5,000 to the Prat, 5,000 years in the Prat Godol. And it is 782 years in the Prat Koton. And we are, how many cycles of the sun have we gone through? 200, we've gone through 206 cycles of the Machzor Godol. And we are currently in the 305th cycle of the Machzor Koton. And how many years into the Prat Koton are we? We are now in the 11th, the Prat Koton is 19 years. And we are now beginning the 11th year of the Prat Koton, which happens to be one of the 7 years when we have a leap year, where we add an additional month into the year. That's today's date. Leminyan Sha'anu Moinin Kan in the Angizel of Midwood on Avenue L and Ocean Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. That is the date. That is the date. Could you imagine reading that in the Ksuba? Mechubit, Harach HaGoyin, Rav Meir, Abeldorf, with Kriyas HaKsuba. He'll Taka do this. This is up his alf. He'll Taka. He'll go and he'll tell you the whole date. Give you the full version. Let's do one more time. Okay, one more time. Okay, Kol HaMoisif Goyreya. The more you add, the more trouble you're looking for. But let's do one more time for clarification. One more time to get the whole thing put together. Today is the 29th day of Tishrei. And notice, Tishrei is a Chodesh Mole, which means that tomorrow is going to be day 30 of Tishrei. Because we go to the cycle. We alternate. Mole Chaser, Mole Chaser. Tishrei is always Mole. The only 2 months that alternate, that can sometimes be Mole, sometimes be Chaser, are only 2 months. The 2 months that we're coming to now, Cheshvan and Kislev. Those are the only 2 months of the year which sometimes are both 29 days, sometimes are both 30 days. Sometimes one is, the first one is 30 days, it's 29 days, it would be 29 days, and the second would be 30 days. These are the only 2 months of the year that are variable months. Cheshvan and Kislev. Once we finish Kislev, we come to Teves, smooth sailing. Teves 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, with no exception whatsoever. Okay, you go straight. Now, so therefore, right now, again, one more time, just to clarify and to review. Today is the 29th day of Tishrei, which means it's not the end of the month. There's going to be another day. There's going to be a day 30 because we're not up to the variable months yet. And what year are we in? Well, for the Prat Godol, Pei Lamid Pei Le Perat Gimel, Le Prat Godol, we're in 5,000 years. It's a long time. We're all a bunch of dinosaurs. 5,000 years have passed. Le Prat Godol. What about the Prat Koton? The change, well, it's Tav Shin. Tav is 400, Shin is 300, 4 plus 3 is 7, 700, and Pei is 80, Beis, 82. 782 years, Lamed Pei Kuf. This you'll see all over the place. Lamed Pei Kuf, Leprat Koton. Now, okay, let's now break it down into the cycles. There is a Machzor Godol, and there is a Machzor Koton. The long cycle, the Godol, is 28. When does the year, which is based upon the position of the sun in the sky, on the first Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock in the beginning of the year? That's the anniversary of the creation of the sun. when the sun was created, it was in the sky, but the position of the sun is relative to the moon and is relative to the stars. And because everything is moving around, everything in Shemayim, there's no achdus in Shemayim. Everyone in Shemayim is their own balabas. The sun moves at its pace, the stars move at their pace, the moon moves at their pace. We have three major bodies in the sky. We have the sun, the moon, and the stars. Each one of these is fixed in its own setting, but they don't coordinate. There's no achdus. Each one does its own thing. The sun does its thing, the moon does its thing, and the stars do their thing. When do they all realign and get back together on the same page? Every 28 years. Every 28 years. So that 28-year cycle is called the Machzor Gadol. Divide 5,782 by 28, and what do you get? 206.
In about 14 years.
14, we're now 14 years into the cycle?
I think
so, yeah. So we're 14 years into the 206th Machzor Gadol. Okay, what about the moon? The Machzor Katon, because we have a lunar calendar, which has to be, it's not really lunar, it's really called a lunar solar calendar. It's a synthesis between the two. The lunar calendar has to sync with the solar calendar by padding it with 7 leap years in a 19-year cycle. So how you take 5,782 and divide it by 19, I think it's 305, is that correct? Something like that, 305? 305 cycles, something like that. So we're now in the 305th cycle of the moon. Which particular year of that, what is it, 305?
What did this would be the 305th year, yeah.
With 305 cycles. When the 300, which one, which year in the 19-year cycle are we really in, for real? We're in the 11th year of this 19-year-old cycle, of this cycle. Now, which year is a leap year? So the siman is Guch. Ad Zah. Now, go Gimel is 3, Vav is 6, Ches is 8. Now, here's a little tricky. The last four letters of this simon, you have to add 10. So, when the next one is Aleph, and it's Dalid, and Zayin, and Tes, you have to add the number 10. So, 10 plus Aleph is 11. We're now in year 11. We're now in year 11, and according to the siman, year 11 is a leap year. So this year will be a leap year. And then there is going to be Dalit, that's going to be in 3 years from now, will be year 14, will be a leap year. And then in 7 years, in the last year, seven, they come, there's only 2 years in between then.
No,
it'll
be
317,
from
14
to
17. Okay, wait. So these seven.
Year 8 is the longest year.
Year 8, right, because you go from
the latest in
9, 8, 9, 10, 11, you go four years. So so we're in the 305th cycle of the Mispar Koton in year.
One second, so there's 11 and then 14, and what's after 14?
17 and 19.
17 and 19.
A total of 7 years in the 19-year cycle. So we're in the 305th cycle, we're in the 11th year of the 305th cycle.
So that's like 323, 332.
Right,
so
the span. So this is of course this is all l'minyan she'anu moedin kan, because who says we have everything correct?
Didn't they change the yovels and whatever they missed?
No, yovel, that's a whole different type. Yovel has nothing to do with this. They would not. Rameir is asking a very good question. Rameir is asking. He's asking, why don't we mention which yovel from the time that we began counting yovel? Why don't we mention which yovel we are up to? So the reason why we don't do this is because this is very complicated. Yovel lahalacha is only practiced bisman shabes hamikdash kayam, and I think in addition also the majority of the Jewish people are living on the land. I think you need two conditions.
49 to
50. You have to have. Yeah. And then there's a very big dilemma. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. When the Jewish people did count Yovel, does that mean that the cycle is 51 years or is it 50 years? In other words, you go 7 times 7, 49. What happens in year 50? Is year 50 a break? Yovel! And then year 51 is the first year of Shemitah. Or do we say that Yovel itself is the first year of Shemitah? So that would mean exactly every 50 years would be Yovel, and you would have Shemitah, year 49, and year 50 is Yovel, but Yovel is also the first year of the next cycle.
Is Yovel also a Shemitah year?
Yes, Yovel has all of the halachas like Shemitah, identical.
So you have a double Shemitah?
Double Shemitah, identical. Every single halacha. But the question is it counted as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle? There are two opinions in the Gemara.
In which case, it's only a 49 year.
So if you say that there'll be a 51 year cycle, if you say that it's not counted, you have 7 times 7. So year 49 is Shemitah.
Right.
Then comes Yovel, year 50, another Shemitah year. It's like Shemitah. Then year 51 is now the first year
of the new cycle,
which means that from Yovel to Yovel,
the cycle was 50 years.
From you, but how long would it be to go?
50.
It's either 49 or 50.
The problem with 49 or 50 is it says if 50 how many is Yovel you are, and 50 doesn't make it. Only if you count 49, right. It works out.
So this is the dilemma. Is the Yovel part year one of the next cycle or no? Yovel is a break. We don't count Yovel anymore. See, it's not relevant because we do not. There is no halachic. It's bottle. Yovel is bottle. When Mashiach will come, it's not. There's not going to be a continuation of calculating all the years where we left off. You start fresh.
Right.
Wherever you're up to, you start fresh. Shemitah does never break. It's like Shabbos. Shemitah every single 7 years is Shemitah, whether you like it or not. Yovel is like Yom Tov. Think about the difference between Shemitah and Yovel, similar to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Every seventh day, whether you like it or not, is Shabbos. It is fixed on the calendar and you cannot budge. Yom Tov, it depends. It depends on if it's a leap year. It depends if the month is Moleh V'Choser. It depends on many variables. So Yom Tov can be pushed around. Yovel is pushed around. Because if Klal Yisrael is not observing the laws, the majority of Klal Yisrael, let's say they leave the land, or there's a Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yovel is cancelled. And when we start again, you start fresh. So Yovel is like Yom Tov, and Shemitah is like Shabbos. And one of the numbers, important number is, to appreciate this number, is that in every cycle, this is a very important number, because it helps make the calculation a lot easier, in every cycle of every cycle of 19 years, there are exactly 235 months. Because if you multiply, you do the math for me, if you multiply 12 times 19, you're going to get 227. Is that correct? 226. 12 times 19. 228. Add 7. 235. 228 plus 7 is 235. So that means every year there are 12 months. But in every 19 years, we have to add, in the 19-year cycle, 7 more months. So 12 multiplied by 19. 12 months of the year is 228. That's assuming there are no leap years. But since in every 19-year cycle we're going to add 7 more leap years, we're going to add 7 to 228 to get to 235. So in every cycle of the Machzor Katon, there will be exactly 235 months. That's just a number, which makes it very easy to count when you want to calculate. And again, all of this we say is, we always conclude, whenever you have an official document, we always conclude with the words, L'minyan sha'anu moinin kan. The reason why we do that is because it's probably everything that we've said is wrong. We have to take into account that the calendar, there have been so many. There have been many long galus, and there are many other opinions. There are many different opinions about a lot of different things. Was the world created in year zero or in year one? Just that alone. Because the world was really created 6 days before day one. When we say in Rosh Hashanah Hayom Haras Olam, we're referring to the anniversary of Yom HaShishi. Aleph Tishrei is the sixth day of creation. So creation began five days before that, on the 25th day of Elul. So that means that Elul was year one, and that means that the world was created in year two. Or you want to say the world was created in year zero, and Adam was created in year one. How do you make all those calculations? And then there are some very big mysteries in Jewish history about missing years. Now, by the way, someone... A Rav told me to say this. You know, I told this to a Rav. He got very angry at me, so I don't want to. But you know, our calculation, we're working with the premise that the Beis Hamikdash. This isn't the Gemara. So it's really up to Kursus to say this. So I'm not trying to say up to Kursus, but the Gemara says over and over, Godliya covered a Beis Achan Yosef Min Harishayim. And the Gemara says that the Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years and the Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years. 420 years. And there are very complex calculations, and this is discussed by many Gedolim. So it's not pure apikursis, it's semi-apikursis. It's not pure apikursis. Is that the Bayis Sheni really stood for more, 500 and change. It really 586 years. And when Chazal said 410, they said it for a reason. And there's a lot to be said about it. According to the calculation that the Beis Hamikdash stood for how many years? For 586.
Secular history is too much things, too many things.
Discrepancies. According to that calculation, you know what this year is? It's year 6,000.
Uh-oh.
The year of Mashiach. That's what, now, Rabbi Reisman, he said many times, always one of his pet peeves, he's a big calendar buff, Rabbi Reisman. And he always says, 10 times in Jewish history did a Zman arrive, and according to everyone who was Pasha, this was the Zman, and they acted upon it, and they were wrong. And because a Churban happened to Klal Yisrael. So he always says, what's going to be in 200 years, when the year, if Chas V'Shalom Chal Mashiach is not here, and the year 6,000 has arrived, where's Mashiach? How could it be? If Chas V'Shalom, you can't, where's Mashiach? The year 6,000. Hopefully it will never happen. Mashiach should come immediately. Hayoyim in the kolot tishmahu. But he says, don't think you know anything. There's nothing. Don't hold Hashem hostage. Don't hold Hashem hostage to your calculations.
Right.
Okay. Don't hold him. Now you can say that because according to some people, this year is the year 6,000. Okay. When it says in the Gemara that the for 410 years, they were talking about it stood. It stood functionally. It functioned. There were years the Bayis Hanukkah. It was dysfunctional. The Beis Hamikdash was shut down. The D Department of Buildings shut down the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, no one can go inside. Okay, so when it says 410, it means it stood 410 as a functional institution. But there were tekufos. It was shut down. But how many years did that span? 500 and whatever it is. Which comes out to that calculation, we're now in the year 6,000. That's spooky.
How does that work? 1782, so like 218 years.
So make the calculation. I read the calculation a while ago, and it said that this year is going to be the year 6,000. This year is going to be the year 6,000 according to those opinions that hold that when it says in the Gemara 410, it just means 410 as a functional institution, but the years that it stood was really a lot more, which is not accepted. This idea is rejected. So don't get excited about this, because many of Gedolei Yisrael don't like this. They say, the Gemara says 410, just clean your mouth out with soap. Don't go start saying drushes. The Gemara says 410, that's all you need to know. Don't look for trouble.
That's my first. first.
Okay, but if you want to...
It's in the second, not in the first.
Okay, okay, whatever. So yeah. These calculations, it comes out, you know, so don't hold Hashem hostage. We conclude, L'minyan sh'onu moinin kan. Because there's a lot of other calculations out there. We all need to get together and agree at least on one thing. Date. At least we have to agree on the date. Okay, Rabbi Yossi?
Amen.